We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome into the fourth quarter of Sports Talk. Steve Geller along with Charlie Long hanging out with you till 8 o'clock, getting ready to talk a little NFL draft with Joe DeLeon, college football and draft analyst for the Believe Podcast Network, and an idea of some of the picks that could be available, the prospects, I'll say, at pick number 14 around that'll be around for the Saints. So many mock drafts you go through, and it's just how it shakes out sometimes. Like I said earlier, Charlie, it was like 11th, 12th overall. I'm still seeing Jaden Daniels going in the draft, and that's just absurd to me that the simulators would even have that happening. It's not happening.
Nope.
Looking at the Pelicans at the half, things not good in Orlando, even though they started out well. 57-48, the Magic lead the Pels. Turnovers have been a big issue for New Orleans, have 10 on the night. Also, the Orlando Magic hitting more of their three-point shots, or 9 of 21. The Pels just 2 of 8 from three-point land. Zion Williamson has 9 points right now. Brandon Ingram, 12. And Trey Murphy has 10. Hopefully they can pick things up in the second half here in Orlando. And that'll be a tough turnaround for them to play tomorrow night, then in Miami. Looking at the NCAA men's basketball tournament and action, I know we've been keeping an eye on that Oakland-Kentucky game, Charlie. Oakland holding on by a slim margin right now heading into the half.
Yeah, Oakland's got a guard that's shot 13 threes in the first half, and he's hit 7. So he's got 21 of those 36 points by himself. It's pretty impressive. Yeah, McNeese is down to Gonzaga right now, 23-17 with 9 minutes left to go in the first half. Texas and Colorado State have started the second half. They're in control of that game, 35-21. And then Iowa State, they had a huge lead against South Dakota State. South Dakota State's kind of climbing back in that game. The Jackrabbits, it is a 31-24 lead for Iowa State with about 6.5 minutes left to go in the first half. But Steve, to your point about that game against the Magic, Orlando up 57-48 after winning the second quarter, big 34-20. The Pelicans only 2 of 8 from three-point range, and you know, obviously the Magic 9 of 21. That is a 21 point difference from distance, and that seems to be the Pelicans whenever they kind of lose some of these games. It's they get outshot from three-point range. That's what happened obviously against the Cavaliers in that loss earlier on in the month, and we'll hopefully see the Pelicans pick it up from three-point range in the second half and kind of cut that lead a little bit. But yeah, Paolo Banchero having a little bit of a quiet night, 2 of 10 from the floor, 4 points, but he does have 10 rebounds and 5 assists, so he's being used in different ways. For the Pelicans right now, Brandon Ingram has the most shots on the team, and he's got 12 points to lead the squad. Zion's got 9. He's also got 3 fouls, Steve, early foul trouble for Big Z, and that seems to be an issue as well. Jonas Valanciunas has also picked up 3 fouls, so couple of Pels in foul trouble. That's why you're looking at a 9-point deficit entering the second half.
Oof, and looking at it too, the stats, Zion Williamson accounting for 5 of the Pels' 10 turnovers. No bueno from our point Zion there.
I definitely saw a charge that Franz Wagner took, so that was one of those turnovers. But yeah, I mean, the Magic, you got to give them credit. They have a great defense. It's showing up tonight. The Pelicans need to start getting hot from three-point range to get back into this thing. It seems like when you've watched the Pelicans play on the road, a lot of the times when they're playing, you know, a lesser opponent, which, once again, I don't think the Magic are necessarily a lesser opponent. I think they're really solid. But the Pelicans typically jump out to an early lead in the first half, kind of bury their opponent early on, and then maybe they let them get back a little bit in the third quarter, and then they kind of cruise to a victory in the fourth. Right now, they have to play some catch-up, so we'll see if they can do it.
Looking at tonight's slate of the NCAA men's basketball tournament, Charlie, are there any of those 4 matchups when we get off the air that you are looking forward to tuning into?
Oh, I'm looking forward to all of them. I really want to see NC State versus Texas Tech. Texas Tech was one of the sneaky teams I think could go on a deep run if they get past an NC State squad. I think Kentucky, if they can beat this, you know, Oakland's team, their matchup against a NC State would be more favorable than a matchup against a team like Texas Tech. And then you're looking at Samford versus Kansas. Kansas is without one of their lead guards. Samford, who won 29 games during the regular season, they're 7.5-point underdogs, and we'll see what happens there. And then Drake Washington State is one of those teams, or one of those games that a lot of people have circled. The line movement in that game has been crazy. It started out Washington State was favored, and now Drake is favored by 1.5 points. That's going to be the nightcap at about 9 o'clock.
How do you have your viewing situation set up? You got how many TVs, how many monitors, computer monitors going?
It's like computer and phone or computer and TVs type of thing. So, yeah, I'll keep an eye on, obviously, the Pelicans, which, you know, we'll probably have a little bit left in the fourth quarter by the time the show is done.
Right.
And then we'll go from there with the NCAA tournament with all the, you know, screens that you got to keep up with for that. but yeah, Gonzaga's going on a little bit of a run here against McNeese. They now lead 28-17 with 8 minutes left to go in the first half.
Yeah, I'm looking, obviously, you know, starting at 8:20 with the St. Peter's Tennessee game. You got game on tennis on TNT, CBS, TBS, and True TV. It's just March Madness everywhere.
It's the most wonderful days of the college basketball season. I mean, back-to-back, Thursday and Friday, wall-to-wall coverage from noon to, like, midnight of just straight-up tournament basketball, and it's the best.
Shout out to our sister station, too, obviously 92.9 FM, 1350 AM, and, of course, the free Odyssey app will have all the NCAA action for you right there. We're going to take a break and step away, get back more into NFL talk, the draft. Joe DeLeon, college football and draft analyst on the Believe Podcast Network, will join us right here on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile. Get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. Steve Geller along with Charlie Long with you. Now helping to welcome in Joe DeLeon, college football and NFL draft analyst on the Believe Podcast Network. How have you been doing, Joe?
Pretty good. We're getting geared up for this final push towards the draft. So I'm excited. I'm ready for the whirlwind that's going to be the next month. So excited to hop on and talk some more drafts with you guys.
Absolutely. And, man, I've been going crazy going through all these mock draft simulators, and I'm just not getting it. I was telling my co-host over here, Charlie, that, you know, I go through one and I see Jaden Daniels falling to like 11th, 12th overall in the draft, and I'm just not understanding it.
So this was on a mock draft simulator?
Yeah,
or was on a mock draft?
No, a mock draft simulator on PFF, and I was like, how is this happening?
Yeah, I can't trust those things too much. There's the occasional time where you'll do one, and then you're like, all right, we need to start this thing over. The
right.
Jaden Daniels, there is no world that he will fall past that fourth pick. There's absolutely no shot.
When you look at Daniels, do you think that it's possible he goes number two and see a team possibly like a Raiders or someone else trading up to get a guy like him?
Yeah, I think that's, first of all, that second overall pick with the Washington Commanders feels like a really good destination for him, especially because that they just went and added Cliff Kingsbury as their offensive coordinator. And I look at the recent string of quarterbacks that Kingsbury has worked with, and guys like Kyler Murray, I think, are a really good example of having the ability to expand the pocket and throw on the run. And he even said when he drafted Kyler Murray that he was the perfect player for the air raid before he drafted him. He made that comment. And I look at Jaden Daniels, who has just such an easy release, and the ball flies off his hand when he's throwing on the run. And he really improved this year, his deep ball accuracy, his deep ball placement. And I think that Jaden Daniels would fit nicely with the Commanders. But to that point of somebody trading up, I think it would take a lot to convince Washington to move off that spot, because it feels like it's been some time since they've been able to have some security at the quarterback position that they're going to want to try and figure out and get their guy. If somebody does trade up, I think it's mostly realistic that it's going to be with the New England Patriots at number three, who have been a little bit uncertain on what they want to do. And it sounded like in Indianapolis at the NFL Combine that they were potentially considering trading out of that spot, which could go to the Vikings or it could go to a team like the Raiders that you mentioned, or maybe even the Denver Broncos.
It seems like the Vikings are kind of positioning themselves here, Joe, to make that move up into the top four at the worst, if not the top three, with the New England Patriots. Just going out and getting the 23rd overall pick, I think you could potentially see a package involving both the 11, the 23, and then maybe a 2025 first-round pick is kind of the baseline, I guess you would say, for moving up into the top five to try and get a quarterback. I think that it's interesting that, you know, a lot of buzz has been coming out about J.J. McCarthy becoming a top five pick for a lot of teams after, you know, maybe he was the fourth or fifth guy in the pre-draft process as far as quarterback rankings go. Now he's just shot up to number four for a lot of teams, if not even higher than that.
Yeah, and I'd even go a step further. He's somebody who, if we remove all the recent draft stock rising and buzz that's come around him, I think – most people in a vacuum would consider him to be a second-round pick with the potential to go in the middle to the end of the first round because he's got great upside as a prospect, but he's super raw. But as we know, this process goes on. Teams that need quarterbacks that are looking at their options after the confirmed locations where other teams could pick quarterbacks, they start to get desperate. And I think that the push to get J.J. McCarthy has been fueled by teams wanting to have the ability to not miss out on getting their guy. And I think the Vikings are a really good example of that. Going and getting the draft capital in order to secure and remove any doubt that they're going to miss out on him. And I think there's a reason why they've been projected to trade into that number four spot, because if the top three end up going in the order that we expect of Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, it's a guarantee at that point that J.J. McCarthy would be easy for them to scoop up at four, and they don't have to worry about that risk of somebody jumping them, and then they're in the position of going with somebody that they're less in love with that's maybe not as exciting as a prospect like Bo Nix or like Michael Penix.
I was going to say, how many quarterbacks are you expecting to go in that first round? Because I feel like the number keeps rising every day.
Yeah, I think that four is the safest number to go with right now, because I think what tends to happen when we've got all this buzz and excitement for some of these guys to move up like J.J. McCarthy, a lot of the other teams that need quarterbacks, after that fourth one goes and he's off the board, they're going to say to themselves, yeah, we like the other options. We like Bo Nix. We like Michael Penix. But let's wait and use a day two pick on one of these guys instead of wasting a first rounder if we're not truly in love with him. I think that's something that a lot of teams tend to do when they're evaluating quarterbacks, is to not force it unless they really like a kid. And there's a reason why last year we saw Will Levis slide into the second round for very similar reasoning. But if things go completely bonkers, six is certainly realistic to happen, where in the back end to the middle of the first round, someone maybe doesn't want to miss out on having an option at quarterback and they take Bo Nix, and then someone gets really desperate and wants to go and grab Michael Penix.
Yeah, Joe, looking at this, you know, top 10 of the draft, I think that we've talked a little bit about it, that maybe nine of those top 10 picks are going to be offensive players. At the same time, if four of them end up becoming quarterbacks and three of them end up becoming receivers, like, what are the chances that the Saints at pick 14, maybe one of those top edge rushers, if not offensive tackles, falls to them?
I think it's very realistic for the edge rusher conversation that they're going to be able to have their choice of whichever edge rusher they want. It's contingent on what the Atlanta Falcons do at number eight, because it's been projected and there were rumors that they really like Dallas Turner, the edge rusher from Alabama. But there, as you mentioned here, not only is there a really high likelihood that most of those picks are quarterbacks and then receivers, but there's a really strong possibility that Brock Bowers could go somewhere in that top 10, top 12 range, as well as guys like Joe Alt, who feels like he's a surefire top 10 pick. I would be really shocked if he fell out of the top 10 and was available at 14 for the Saints. But for the Saints' sake, they're going to have a really good opportunity just to pick amongst the rest of the best of the group. And because this tackle class is so talented, they get to reap the rewards. They're able to get guys who might go in the top 10 in other years, like Amarius Mims from Georgia, like J.C. Latham from Alabama, like Olu Fashanu from Penn State, or Taliese Fuaga, the mauling right tackle from Oregon State.
You mentioned Brock Bowers. That's another one on these simulators that I've been doing that's been a popular pick for me at pick at number 14 for the Saints. If, you know, I just can't imagine him really lasting that long. Could you see a situation where Bowers is available to the Saints at 14, or is that just a pipe dream?
I think it's very plausible, because if you look at all the teams that are picking in the top 10, top 12, it's a lot of teams that are trying to fix their offensive lines. They're trying to find their next quarterback, that are trying to not miss out on these two elite receivers in Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers. And you can even throw Rome Odunze from Washington into the conversation as well. So because of all these other teams looking to fix their other problems, it's really realistic that Brock Bowers does fall that far. In my latest mock draft that I did on the Believe Fan Nation site this past week, I had Brock Bowers sliding to 15 to the Indianapolis Colts.
Okay.
So now it's going to really flow into this, because the Jets signed Mike Williams recently. I think that they're probably the best candidate at number 10 to take Brock Bowers to really round out their offense.
Mentioning LSU receiver Malik Nabers, where do you have him end up in the NFL draft? Do you have him as a number one receiver, or is that still Harrison for you?
For me, it's still Marvin Harrison Jr., just because that I think if we just look at the overall physical profile, there's not a lot of guys that are built like him, that can move like him, that can run routes as crisply and break in and out of the cuts that he can, and create separation as well as show off a physicality to win in contested situations. But that, to me, is not a knock on Malik Nabers. If there was not this rare prospect like Marvin Harrison Jr., there wouldn't be a debate that Malik Nabers would be the number one prospect in this class. I just think for the well-roundedness of Marvin Harrison Jr., that he can do everything, just puts him slightly above Nabers for me. But Malik Nabers is just so explosive after the catch, and is going to be one of those guys that's just a yak killer, if you will, in an offense if he goes to the right situation. I love the thought of Nabers ending up at that sixth spot to the New York Giants, because they have really had so much trouble figuring out their receiver room. And we remember, I know that there's no correlation to success for this, but we remember the last time that they took an LSU wide receiver in Odell Beckham Jr.
It
worked really well for them.
And then, Joe, I mean, we talked about the 14th overall pick. At pick 45, you know, we always talk about building through the strengths of the draft. Offensive tackle is a huge one, but wide receiver is also a really big strength as well. I feel like if the Saints want to take a tackle, or maybe even an edge rusher at pick 14, wide receiver should be the position that they target in the second round with pick 45. I think there's going to be a bunch of guys that come off the board in the first round, but there's just as many that are going to come off in the second as well.
Yeah, I think that there's that early grouping run that's going to happen in the first round, and then there's going to be some sprinkled a little bit later on. But as we get to the second round, there's really just this jam-packed grouping of, you know, does an Adonai Mitchell slide out from Texas in the first round? Does he end up in the second round? Does Keon Coleman from Florida State, does he end up being available in somewhere in the second round, which is very possible? And then on top of that, the guys that are, I think, guaranteed to still be there in the second or third round, I really like Ladd McConkey from Georgia. I really love Xavier Leggett from South Carolina. And then there's even later options like Ricky Pearsall, and there's just so much talent in this class at the receiver position that you could even go as far as to look in the fourth or fifth rounds and you'll still be able to secure somebody. And then on top of that, you brought up tackle. Like, there's a really good chance that the Saints somewhere in the second round could end up with a developmental prospect like Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma or Kingsley Soamatea from BYU.
Yeah, I think Guyton's an interesting player as well, because he's played on both sides of the line at left tackle and right tackle. He's also a Senior Bowl guy, which the Saints obviously love. I think he's kind of the ideal trade-down candidate if the Saints were to move down from pick 14, which could potentially happen. I've talked with, you know, Mike and Steve about it. If Brock Bowers falls to 14, it seems like the perfect spot to either take like a game-changing tight end, or you move down with a team in the 20s that really wants that guy, like Brock Bowers, that can just completely change an offense, and you get more picks later on in the draft. You get an extra second, maybe an extra third, and go from there, because there is a big gap from their second-round pick to the fifth round, which would make a lot of sense for me for them to trade down if that were a chance.
Yeah, and I also really like that thought that you bring up there of potentially trading out of that 14 spot. The Saints are a team that, yes, it's obviously important for them to secure premier talent, and you're sitting at 14 with all these options. But I would argue that if there is an opportunity to trade back and accumulate some more draft capital, you need to find ways to raise the floor of this roster. And I think that as inconsistent as Derek Carr was last year, we know that he's a quality quarterback, but he's not the type of guy that is going to win and ascend when everything around him is average to below average. You need to build a roster around him that's going to help him succeed in order for this team to be competitive in a division that frankly is and should be easy for them to win. So I really like that thought of them trading back, and they're one of those teams that certainly should be in the equation to do so.
Awesome info, Joe. Definitely appreciate your time. Have a good one. I'm sure we will be talking to you too soon. Like you said, the draft is slowly coming around that corner. I know it'll definitely seem to amp up probably after March Madness ends.
Of course. Thanks for having me, guys. Always great chatting with you.
Thanks, Joe.
Joe DeLeon, college football and NFL draft analyst on the Believe Podcast Network. Going to take a break. When we get back, we'll be getting into some LSU women's basketball sound, hearing from Haley Van Lith and Angel Reese. But man, oh man, Charlie, I know while we were on the line talking to Joe, there was a brutal injury with Brandon Ingram. Do we have any kind of update on what happened?
Not yet. We'll probably be getting one soon.
Yes. Collision ended up being helped off the floor. Hopefully the best for B.I. We'll be right back with more Sports Talk right after this on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk. Checking out the Pelicans versus Orlando Magic game. The Magic up 82-70 right now. Third quarter almost ending. 2 minutes left there. Checking on the update on Brandon Ingram. Rod Walker of the Times-Picayune/Advocate tweeting out, it looked like assistant coach Jaron Collins was talking to Willie Green and talking about the Ingram injury, saying that it's a hyperextended left knee. B.I. needed help getting to the locker room, could not put any weight on that left leg as he was helped off. So wishing the best for him, but it does not look like it's one of those nights for the birds, Charlie. 14 turnovers on this evening.
Yeah, and I mean, we'll keep our fingers crossed about B.I. It didn't look very good.
Right.
If it's a hyperextension, that's better than the alternative.
Yeah, looking at the, like I said, turnovers have been an issue for the team. Not hitting three-point shots, but the Orlando Magic keep, you know, pounding away there. 83-70 now. Still some time left in the third quarter going into the fourth. Speaking of basketball, LSU women got a 3 o'clock tip-off tomorrow against 14 seed Rice in the Baton Rouge regional of the NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament. Got to hear from Kim Mulkio earlier today on the show. She joined Mike D'Atelier at 5:20. You can definitely check that out. Go to WWL.com in the podcast section. Also, you can check it out on the free Odyssey app. Now I want to hear from some of her players. Angel Reese and Haley Van Lith also talked to the media, and here's what they had to say.
This is for Angel. Just going into it this year as opposed to last year, how differently does it feel for you, and what is different for you?
Of course, last year we didn't have really any expectations, of course. Coming into this year, we have a national championship projected number. We were number one coming in this year, took a couple losses this year, but finished out the year strong. So it's definitely different, a different feeling now. I feel like more of a chip on our shoulder this year going into it. But I think our team is gelling at the right time, and I feel super comfortable. Last year's team, I didn't really know how far we were really go. We knew what we had, but this year's team, I feel like we know what we have at this point, and now it's just win or go home.
Haley, just the steps forward y'all have taken as a team defensively, and you specifically, just where is y'all's confidence level at, and how do you feel like y'all have taken those steps forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think the main thing was just time with each other, and time in practice, and an emphasis on building that part of our team. I think at the beginning of the season, we were caught up in how well we could score and how fun that was, and we neglected the other side of the game. And, you know, we were real with ourselves. We recognized that that was something we needed to fix, and then we fixed it. So it was pretty simple.
And Angel, just the rest that y'all have been able to get over the past couple weeks. I know you said after the game you could play right away, but how valuable has that been, and how valuable has the practice time been?
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, being able to come back, our goal, of course, was to play home. And being able to come back home and play these two games is going to be amazing for us and amazing for LSU and the community and what we are able to do. Pack another game out. I believe the game is sold out tomorrow. So being able to come back, rest up some of the nagging injuries that we had, and then being able to collectively come together and just focus on what we're known to be. And defense is something that we've been really emphasizing on, and I'm just happy where we are defensively.
For both of y'all, Rice is playing their best basketball round one. Obviously, you got to get through round one to make it to round two. But what do you expect to see from this team, from both y'all, from the post position and the guard position?
Yeah, I mean, they have a big post, a big body post down there. We watched a lot of film on them. Just being able to understand our versatility and use that as our advantage for, I'm speaking from the post position. I think they do a great job being able to stretch out. Their four player is like a guard, probably be a guard on any other team. Super versatile, and just understanding our matchups is going to be super important. But on the defensive side, just being able to help our guards as much as we can, I think that's what has gotten us this far so far. Just being able to be there for our guards and helping them with our guards. They have a great left-hand point guard, which is really good. So just doing whatever it takes to win is going to be important.
Yeah, I mean, I think you see with these smaller schools in the beginning of the tournament, they're going to be smaller than us, but they are very versatile. They have a stretch four. They can shoot on the perimeter. Our bigs are going to have to come out and be able to guard, which we know they can. We have very athletic bigs that can move their feet. And yeah, there's certain challenges to it, but we also have advantages that we're going to capitalize on: the size, the athleticism, the experience at this level. And yeah, we're very excited to play them.
Haley, we all saw your reaction when you saw Louisville's name pop up on the thing. What were you thinking? Like, did you just say, "I know the committee was going to do this"? what did you think? And Marissa Russell was in here earlier. She said y'all were roommates.
Yeah.
What is your reaction to them being here where you are now?
Yeah, I mean, I think most of the reaction was I wasn't even thinking of that. Like, that wasn't what was going through my mind at that time. So it was more of like a surprise. But yeah, me and Marissa are really close. That's a relationship that I'll have for the rest of my life. She's a great friend of mine, and, you know, I love to support her in any way I can. But you know, I'm a competitor, and if the time comes to compete, then I compete.
This is for Angel. How would you say you would summarize kind of the arc of your season so far in terms of not just adjusting to a number of new high-profile teammates and figuring out your role among them, but also just how much fame you came into this season with versus last year and managing all that?
Yeah, I mean, it just goes back into what our theme for the year is: dig deep roots. And we talked about that from the beginning of the season. We know most of our statuses. We know everything that we come with, the fame, everything that comes with. We have to just put that to the side and understand what it's going to take to win. And I think in the beginning of the season, like Haley said, we focused so much on offense, and we neglected defense, and what it's going to take. We can't just beat these teams and outscore these teams. Like, these teams are actually really good, and they can outscore you, and we've seen that earlier on in the season. Our first game out the gate, Colorado, they killed us. We didn't play any defense. Offensively, we were struggling. So just being able to see us being able to put everything else to the side, not care about stats, not care about personal goals, and understand what it's going to take to win a national championship. We didn't have the most talented team last year to win a championship, and this year we have one of the most talented teams in the country. So it's going to be a difference, and it's a different shift of understanding, like, what it's really going to take to win this thing. And like he was saying earlier, like, if Poa can't go, we won a national championship because of the bench. Me, Alexis, and Jazz didn't play really much that Iowa game. Me, Alexis, and KP didn't play. Jazz, Poa came in. That bench is going to be what's going to be important. And coach keeps emphasizing, like, Janae, we're going to need you. Aaliyah, we're going to need you. Everybody from the bench, we're going to need you guys. So just understanding what it's going to take to win is just going to be really, really important at the end.
That was LSU women's basketball players Haley Van Lith and Angel Reese as they get ready for their matchup tomorrow against Rice. And LSU sent out a permission slip for folks for tomorrow, Charlie. I wish we could use that. We will be on the air, though, when they're playing the game. It started 3. We'll be on at 4. But to whom it may concern, we look forward to beginning our journey throughout the 2024 NCAA tournament on Friday. Tiger Nation has been on our side all season, and all this weekend will be the final chance you have to see LSU play in the Maravich Center this this season. We've enjoyed playing in front of energetic crowds all year long and expect the same as we look to defend our home court in the NCAA tournament. Please excuse, you enter your name, from school, work, general activities on Friday, March 22nd for our 3 o'clock game as we need every Tiger fan at the PMAC cheering us on against Rice. Tickets are only $30. You bring the passion to fuel our energy. We will take care of the rest. Go Tigers, from Kim Mulkey, LSU women's head basketball coach. Going to be a fun one, obviously. And if the Tigers can make it past Rice, everyone's anticipating a matchup against Louisville, Helly Van Liss, old team, which should be some extra fireworks right there.
Yeah, absolutely. The one thing that stood out about that presser is how many times they kept talking about their growing confidence on defense. You know, the age-old saying of defense wins championships, right? So, and they're going to need it. Like, their bracket is very brutal. So if they are to get past Rice, as you said, it's probably going to be Louisville, but if not, it's going to be Middle Tennessee, which, you know, we talked with Coach Mulkey earlier. She's got some connections with some of the coaching staff there with a former player of hers. And then also moving a little bit further down the bracket, if you make it to like the Sweet 16, your matchup is going to be against a UCLA team that's ranked sixth in the net. That's the 2 seed of that bracket. And then Iowa potentially in the Elite Eight. So it is a gauntlet in that region to get to the Final Four. And once they get there, Steve, like, you're looking at maybe South Carolina, you know, USC is probably going to be in that number as well. There's a lot of great teams that they're going to have to get through to make it another run at the NCAA championship. But you saw, you know, Coach Mulkey did it last year as a 3 seed. We'll see if they can do it again.
Yeah, and obviously everybody's looking forward to hopefully a rematch, one against Iowa and Caitlin Clark, and then two, like you mentioned, with South Carolina. The energy, intensity in that SEC tournament matchup that unfortunately the Tigers did not come on top of has everybody anticipating. Once that ended, it's like, well, they could meet again, hopefully, in the Final Four.
Fingers crossed. I mean, we'll see. They have to get there first. And once again, that road is very difficult. So one step at a time, like Coach Mulkey was saying, starting with that Rice game tomorrow. And then also the NCAA women's tournament's unique, I guess you would say, that the first couple games are going to be played at host sites. So LSU at the PMAC is going to host Rice, and if they win, they'll host the winner of Middle Tennessee and Louisville in that second round matchup. So that's a huge advantage, being at the PMAC in front of your home crowd. As Angel Reese was saying, you know, like, that's what they want to have. They have that home court advantage in those first two matchups that can propel any team to a Sweet 16 if they're playing good ball.
Well, got an update on Brandon Ingram from Pelicans PR. He will not return to the game tonight. No surprise. And they're just listing him with a left knee injury. So no real clear-cut answers there right now in the status of BI.
We're not going to get one tonight. We'll find out probably maybe after the game is over a little bit more. But yeah, as of now, anything we say would be speculation.
And unfortunately, the Pels down 20, 95-75, end of the third in Orlando. We'll see if they can pull off a heck of a comeback against the Magic. Got to turn around and play again tomorrow night in Miami. So it'll be a battle of more Florida teams coming up tomorrow for the Pellies. We'll be previewing that with NBA writer Ali Cosell on tomorrow's show. Taking a break, we'll get right back, closing things out here on WWL Sports Talk. Be right back. Mentioned going into the break, Brandon Ingram out for the rest of the game for the Pelicans, who are down 95-82 in the fourth quarter, 10 minutes left to play against the Orlando Magic. B.I. getting a left knee injury. Hopefully all is well there. We'll find out, like Charlie was saying, more tomorrow on it. Not going to be any immediate information this evening. Looking at the men's college basketball scoreboard, not so great for Will Wade and McNeese either, Charlie.
No, Will Wade and the Cowboys are down 48-25 at halftime.
Yeehaw.
Yeah, Gonzaga went on a huge run to close out the first half, and they made a really big push. So Coach Wade and the Cowboys are going to need to have a huge second half to even get back into the game. Right out of the big story, Steve,
yeah,
you know, there hasn't been any gigantic upsets just yet. The biggest one is probably Duquesne over BYU, is the 11-6. Kentucky is still trailing Oakland 53-50 midway through the second half. And if Oakland can hold on, that will be the first big bracket buster for a lot of people that had Kentucky maybe making a run to at least the Elite Eight. But yeah, no, Steve, it's going to be something to keep an eye on. This one kid, as I mentioned earlier, from Oakland is now 9 of 17 from three-point range. He's only shot threes. He's shot 17 of them and hit 9. He's got 27 points on the night for Oakland.
I had to look up their mascot. You know it offhand?
It's the Bears, isn't it? The Golden Bears.
Grizzlies, yeah.
Golden Grizzlies, there you go.
Well, so the Golden Grizzlies can take
they
care of the Wildcats.
They could ruin a lot of...
Yeah, seeing now 55-50, they are up, Oakland.
They could ruin a lot of brackets tonight.
We'll be talking more about the NCAA tomorrow tournament tomorrow on Sports Talk. Also be keeping tabs on what LSU's doing against Rice in the women's basketball tournament and previewing LSU baseball at Florida. Talk to you tomorrow, everyone. Have a great night.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.